We're breaking it down, and there's two lessons, 37, 38, if you have your handout.
Thank you. If anybody needs one, there are extra up here. Anybody? Everybody's well equipped? Okay.
It's broken down in two lessons, 37, 38. Splitting the book in half, chapters 1 through 3 and chapters 4 through 6. And then we're just going to look at it. We're going to go ahead and start out by reading the first three chapters. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us as the creation of the world. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. I want to stop there for a minute and just look at a couple key things here. Of course, the word grace comes up several times. For those of you who are in the class on Wednesday night on the Anatomy of Proverbs, speaking about wisdom, I must say this is a great class to be teaching because I get to tie the two together. In verse 8, he says, with all wisdom and understanding, there you go. That's going to come. Wisdom is going to come up in this book as well as grace. So it's not surprising how many times things in the Bible parallel and connect each other as you go through the Bible. So these various key words and thoughts come up. But what do you see in this first section about grace that makes it so extra special? There's some key words. Okay, he chose us. Let me give you a hint. Verse 6. In the praise of his glorious grace, which he what? Freely gave. How much could you pay for this grace? You couldn't pay everything you own for this grace. And then in verse 8, he lavished on us. This isn't just something he just handed us like you would hand somebody a book. Here, there you go. Here's a $20 bill. Here you go. This was freely given. It was lavished on us.
Mom, you're missing redemption.
Right.
That's certain grace, isn't it?
That's all part of this, isn't it? It's all part of it. That's what the grace leads us to. So these are ideas that the grace is not, it's not something that you can buy, earn, or be good enough for, and it's not something given stingily. God doesn't give, he's not stingy about his giving, is he? God is love. So when he gives all the way. He's all in. And that's part of the confidence of knowing about this grace, is knowing this isn't something you're going to get little bits and pieces of. Let me give you a little bit and see how you handle that. He's just pouring this grace on us. I can tell you, I'm incredibly grateful for that, because if he gave me a little bit of time, I don't know that it would cover very many of my shortcomings or sins or whatever. I couldn't make it. I'd never keep up. If I were to pay Doc for every time he worked on me, you know, pretty soon I'm bankrupt. At some point, he just says, you know what? I'm just going to do this because I love you. I'm just going to do it for free. I expect that right after services, I'll meet you outside. So let's go on. Verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart, this came up Wednesday night, somebody mentioned this, the eyes of your heart, and here it is, may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches, here's another one of those words, of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rulers and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything. Sorry, who fills everything in every way. Chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. Did you see how these adjectives, they're wonderful adjectives. I don't know, you know, this concept of growing up with this grace given reluctantly, somehow having to be good enough, having to earn it, having to do something, you know, well, it's only a few could possibly get this, and therefore, you know, it's there. It would be like, I don't know what it would be like. An endless buffet. Anything and everything you could possibly want. As much as you could eat. For as long as you wanted to eat. No cost. I don't know why I picked food. Maybe too early for lunch, too late for breakfast. But think about it. You know, okay, so fuel costs are out the roof. You could go up to the pump and fill up anytime, all the time, as much as you want, and drive forever. I mean, grace is way beyond all that. All of these words tell you grace is so much more than that. God's grace to us is just almost undefinable. It's so amazing. It's so complete. It's so powerful.
Lonnie?
Yes.
Becky? The alternative is stated there too, because we were by nature children of wrath. So it's the alternative isn't just a pleasant life, but the alternative is something really, really bad. And he has, God has the right to make that because he has made it. He has lavished us. You know, we don't, we're without excuse if we don't
accept it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it does say that, doesn't it? We were without excuse. Great, very good. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved, and God raised us up in Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomprehensible riches of his grace, expressed his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So the end result is we've been saved. There's your faith, and this grace, it just carries us through. And this is not from yourselves. In other words, we didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are called God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Does that bring to mind anything? any place in the Bible that sounds really familiar to you? Hint, it's on the board. Titus talks about this. One of my favorite books. I absolutely love Titus. Among other things, he talks constantly in that book about our responsibility as Christians to be doing good. Here he says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Not because we did good works. Not so we can keep doing good works so that we can earn the right to be in Christ Jesus. We're created to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There's stuff for us to do. Are we doing it? In Titus, in the three passages where this really specifically addresses it, the first one says, preparing for eager people, eager to do good. And the next, and that's in 2:14 and 3:1, he says, ready to do good. So you're eager, now you're ready. And then 3:14, doing good. In that book, he talks about that, and you see that progression of what we're all about. So, grace is not this thing you get. I think somewhere in a class recently that this got talked about, Christmas gifts or something, and how they get handled. Maybe it was a sermon. So somebody gives Carl this amazing Christmas gift. For Carl, what would that be? A new golf club. And he said, okay, next. And somebody would say, well, didn't you appreciate that? Yes, it's a golf club. Next. So, you know, when we get this grace, do we just go, oh, nice, that's grace, thank you very much. Next. Well, what's next? Take it and go do something. God's given you this grace. He's prepared you to do good works. Let's go do some good works. What are those good works? It could be all kinds of stuff, couldn't it? Yes?
It made, when you were asking if it reminded us of anything else, I was thinking about when Paul was talking about the different parts of the body and the gifts that we get.
Right.
He goes through, some are teachers, some in that case it were apostles, prophets, teachers, healing, helping, administering. They were for doing something.
Right, yeah. He created us, and we're headed that direction, aren't we? We're headed that direction. Very good.
I see disconnect. I think a lot of times we disconnect each thing. We disconnect, we separate out grace. We disconnect responsibility. And, you know, we look at everything disconnected rather than they are interconnected and make us a whole.
Right.
Becky was saying, it's the whole body.
Right. Yeah, and that's a good point. It'd be easy to, I don't know, maybe overstating it. I'd start to say it'd be easy to decide what you want to pick and choose. Now, I don't think it's as easy as it sounds. We may pick and choose, but I don't know that it's real easy. Not if you really understand. If you really understand what God has done through His Son to give us new life, if you really understand that and are grateful, and that as I.E. appreciate that, then I think you start to get it all. It's when you understand it but you don't really appreciate it, you take it for granted, then I think you're starting to not get it. I think it's real important to realize that this isn't, becoming a Christian is not the end. It's the end of your old life, yes, but it's not the end. You don't say, okay, I'm good, now on with life. You know, it's, praise God, it's good, now on with whatever life He has for me to, what do I need to be doing? How do I need to be living? What needs to be different? I'm this new person, been blessed by this lavished grace. What needs to be different? How do I need to act? How do I need to talk? How do I need to think? What needs to be my priorities? What's important in my life? Who's important in my life? What am I going to talk about? Who am I going to talk to? There's a lot of things that just have to start changing. I mean, you know, probably a lot of us weren't leaving the bars to go to the church building. Maybe some of us were. But, you know, we all had to leave something. There was something in our lives. There were probably several somethings in our lives that weren't godly. They might have been good things that just became our gods. But our God wants us to be more than that. And that's why He gave us His grace. He loves us. What would be the good of giving us forgiveness without grace? Okay, I forgive you, but now you're going to have to prove you're worthy of that forgiveness for the rest of your life. I'm just going to make it so conditional that you can't possibly, you'll be so dependent on me, it's going to hurt. That's not the way God works. Yes, we should be dependent on Him because it feels great. I mean, how could you not love, you know, somebody like Dan Bryan? I mean, you know, just a good hug from Dan Bryan just makes you feel good. When would it ever not feel good? You know, hug from anybody would feel good, actually. It's just that idea that when you have something like that that's so special, why would you not just say, hey, I want more. I want more of His grace in my life. I want, it's lavished. How much more? Mercy, forgiveness. It's great stuff. So moving on. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Grace will what?
Grace will grant us redemption.
Grace will grant us redemption. Okay, good.
In the end.
In the end. All right.
I think he missed the first part. He said we can't live any way we want.
Right. Cannot live any way we want. No.
And Ron, I see a connection in what you said to Mark's sermon when you become a Christian. When he talks to somebody, he says the putrid jobs are all taken.
Yeah.
Now what are we going to, you know, what would you like? You know, it's coming in and knowing and connecting that responsibility is connected with this. And understanding that from the beginning, and that's what I'm going to do. It's just a natural part of progression and doing stuff.
Right, right. Yeah, the pew sitting job, the pew is just a resting spot for a moment, right? You're just sitting down for a second, catch your breath, out the door, go do some more stuff. Let's move on with verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves a circumcised,
which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at the time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Now, here he's said several things, always using one. He's going to sum it up here shortly. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So this makes you think of another verse that talks about the fact, you know, our body is the temple of the Spirit. Because through Christ's blood, that's what we've become. Ephesians 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to you by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promises in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. Boundless. Boundless. There's no boundary on these riches. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And boy, that's powerful. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
You know, this idea of being able to grasp, he says, so you can have the power together with all the Lord's people to grasp. Anybody off the top of your head know how big an acre is? How much?
240 by 240 square feet.
Did I say an acre?
Yeah.
I am so sorry. I did not mean an acre. A section.
648.
Thank you. And how far is one side? How long is one side of this?
1 mile.
1 mile. So think of a piece of land 1 mile by 1 mile by 1 mile by 1 mile. That's a section. It used to be in the old days, you could go out and you could get a section of land. The railroads are given millions of acres that way. A section here, a section there, just for building their railroads. So take a section. If you walked a mile, how many of us would like to go do that? Let's go try that right now. We got time. Go walk a mile, and then a mile, and then a mile, and then a mile. Now go a mile up, and a mile around, and down. And a cubic mile of land. Now I want you to go out. Even if it's just two-dimensional, take your hand and stick it in the dirt and say, okay, I got a hold of the whole section. Really? And now you're thinking three-dimensionally. Put your hand on that. I own this. Really? If you grab a handful of dirt, how much of that section do you have?
Handful.
A handful of dirt. So he's giving you this power to grasp this love that you can't even begin. I cannot get that. That's just mind-boggling. Good. It should be. Because if you could grasp it easily, it'd be cheap. That's the grace we're talking about here. That's the love God has for us. Is that not amazing? That's amazing to me.
Well, as a human being, we don't have the capacity. We can't comprehend. Mm-hmm. We can't comprehend the love of God.
Yeah.
We can't comprehend the power of God. We just, all we can do is have faith that He loves us.
Yeah. That word is so important, Fred. That word faith is so important. Because there are people in this world, all of us, here it comes, as physical beings in a physical world, all of us have some innate need to have proof, to have evidence, to see, touch, feel, taste, hear. We have, it's us, it's what we are as physical beings. But there are some that mentally, everything's got to be proven. You've got to show me concrete evidence on everything. You can't do that with God. You cannot. Listen, this is it. This is how I say it. What's in the center of the earth? Anybody know what's in the center of the earth?
Iron.
What?
Iron.
How do you know?
Iron.
But you just said, how do you know? How do you know it's a... How far is it to the center of the earth?
Halfway through.
Yeah, halfway through. Smart, I like it. Oh, I like it. Anyway, I don't know. You know what? I don't even know what the radius of the earth is. The
circumference of the earth is about 22,000.
Yeah, exactly. So what would be the radius? 8? Okay. No, that's not right. That wouldn't be the radius. That'd be... So, okay. So anyway, you figure. What's the deepest man's ever been? I mean... Anybody you know personally ever been? What, 2 miles maybe? Marianas Trench? Is that 2?
How deep is the gold mines in Africa? Aren't they 2 or 3 miles deep?
Okay, 2 or 3. The point is, who's been to the center of the earth? How do you know what's down there? You have proof of what's down there? Have you ever been down there? Has anybody been down there and come back and tell you about it?
Jules Verne.
Yeah, Dreamer. Anyway. He was on the right track. Okay, so, because somebody told you. Who told you? Well, there's evidence. What evidence? Well, there's gravity. I've never seen gravity. I see the effect of gravity. But you say it's because of what's down there? How do you know that's because of what's down? See, there's all this stuff. We want proof. We don't really, we can't get that proof. How hot is the sun? People tell you all the time. How do they know? Anybody been there? Anybody sent anything in there that sent messages back about how, hey, I landed on the moon. It's this hot. Woo! It wouldn't happen. Get really close. Gone. Well, we know how hot it was out there, but we really don't know how. We just don't really know. You can take lots of stuff and extrapolate knowledge. That does not make it true. Faith is where we have to grasp those things that we could not, with our limited human ability, ever grasp. And it's never going to be proven, because God didn't have to prove it that way. He didn't have to prove it that way. He gives us plenty of evidence of his love in all kinds of ways, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. I mean, nature around us, the beauty of all things, the answers to our prayers, the love that we can have for each other because of his love. We can see God displayed in so many different ways. So, I'm never going to get God. I'm too tiny. Too finite. If it wasn't for faith, I couldn't believe. With faith, I absolutely believe. There's not even a doubt in my mind of God being who he says he is and being able to do what he says he can. And when he says he's lavished his grace on me, all I can do is fall on my knees and say thank you, because I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. It's a wonderful gift. Time is flying by. As it, see, Ron, I knew you set me up for failure. Love you anyway. Chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord. Now, this is moving into the second section. Okay, the first section, united to God through Christ, united to each other through Christ. And here's this summary that I made reference to a minute ago. I also want you to notice that, and I've said this in other classes, for us to use words that are absolutes, absolutely, always, never, everybody, nobody, that sort of thing, dangerous. But when God uses them, they're perk your ears up words. When God says always, never, yes, no, whatever, any absolute word, we need to perk our ears up, pay attention, because he has the right to say that, and he means what he says. So the second section, you're going to see a lot of that. And it starts right here. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely, completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. After this whole first three chapters of setting it up, here's what you need to do. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Here's the summary. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. Those are also absolute words. One, period. There are not many of any of these. One. He's a God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Who?
All
is absolute too. Exactly. I probably didn't have those things. Yeah. My corrected sheet actually has those on it. But verse 7. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended? What goes down must come up, right? To the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service. Not just to teach them, not just to make them feel good, not to fill the time slot, to equip them. If Remember what I said in my first class in Proverbs. My goal is to change your heart, change your lives, prepare you to do stuff. If we're not applying what we know, what we've learned, if we don't take the conviction and turn it into production, what good is it? We're sort of taking that golf club, putting it in the corner, and going, yeah, okay. So this is important. So he says, to equip these people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, not that is Christ. It's kind of, when I was reading this, it's so many of these, I had this image of Christ the head, and here's this little plant growing up to the head. I just thought, you know, really, it's almost what it is. It's sitting there. It's like, I need my body. Come on, let's go. And that's what he wants us to do, grow that body. For from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former ways of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So there's a lot of newness going on here. Grace brings some newness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands that they may have something to share with those in need. This is what we need to be doing. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Ephesians 5, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must be not even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because they are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of in all goodness
righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you." Be careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am not going to be able to read all of it, and I want to just pause on this thought. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not always easy to do if you really read it and think about your life, because sometimes things aren't good. You might read that, always give thanks to God the Father for everything good in my life. That's not what it says. So read on the rest of this. Think about it. Sorry we didn't have time to cover it all. Let's end with a quick prayer. God, our Father, we love you so much and thank you for this time we could be together, and pray that we'll take these things to heart and put them in practice in our lives. God, I pray that we'll honor you with this time of worship, of singing, of praise, of fellowship, and the study of your word, and that we'll honor you with our lives as we go out from here today to bring glory and honor to your kingdom and to your Son, Jesus, through whom we pray. Amen.